Steven Gerald, TR. N4IQ, N0, TR. Listening. This is N0, TR.
Oh, I just had a question for you this morning. I got a really neat surprise. A friend of mine who is a supreme electronic technician, and I would classify him as an engineer, but I don't know if he holds an engineering degree. I used to call on him occasionally if I got stuck on something, on machine tools, and he was down in Tulsa, in that area. He's in Broken Arrow, and he come on here this morning while I was talking to Oscar Echo 2 Whiskey Uniform Mike in Salzburg, Austria, on EchoLink, and it was really neat, just floored me. He bought a new 890S, I hate him for that, but other than that, he's a good guy, Bill.
Some people have all the luck, don't they? All the luck, or I don't know what else they get, you know, what they want, I guess, but yeah, that's a nice rig. There's so many nice rigs out there now. Well, that's really good. I mean, so your friend you're talking about, so was he on 6-1 through EchoLink?
It was funny, the gentleman in Austria was calling CQ for Oklahoma, and nobody ever answered, and so I got on there and told him where I was at, and he said, oh, don't matter, I'm happy to talk to you too. And he was really nice, and he spoke pretty good English. Mike is KD5KX, Kilo Delta 5, Kilo X-ray, and he's been out of it for, oh, gosh, 20 years, I think he said. And you'd love him. He started out as a data system technician for the Navy for, I think, 6 years, and then he worked for Sperry Rand on, I think it was on approach controls for airports, and quite a few nice jobs, and then formed his own company and traveled all over southeastern Kansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri, Arkansas, marrying PLCs and things like that and troubleshooting machine tools. But just a real fine gentleman. And I got a thing through the ARRL website the other day saying that he was getting back into ham radio. So he wanted to get in touch with me, and so I sent him my phone number. But what he wanted to know was what was the best program to get in on some ready. He going big time. He went out and bought that 890 just to start out with. His old rigs were pretty ancient, I guess. But he's retired now and wanting to get back in. And what would you recommend, Bill, that MMTTY?
Use it. You know, it's dedicated MMTTY, and that's what I use because I use it on FSK. But you know, you'd have to answer that question. If somebody asked it to me, I would say, well, how do you want to go about getting on RTTY? AFSK, FSK, and do you also want to get on these other digital modes? So, you know, it's one of those things where I'll ask you about 5 questions and I'll give you an answer. But, I wonder if he realizes there's not a lot of conversational of RTTY left anymore. It's almost gotten to be where it's just a contest mode. Now, you'll find some occasionally, but it's not like it was 15 years ago where you get up there and you'd be finding RTTY quite a bit. And you could still get up there and call CQ, but chances of it being answered right away aren't real great anymore.
I'm not sure, Bill. That's why I texted you while I was talking to those two guys, and that makes a lot of sense. Well, I'll try to let him know on that, and it's unfortunate that they don't have nice QSOs on there. I think those FT modes are the same way. I think they just are contacts, basically. I haven't heard of anybody having nice QSOs. Well, I was really pleased with the Echo Link. Now, I've talked to a gentleman in Australia one day coming home up the road here, and it was really great, and this one was really great. There's been some hash on the repeater this morning and some QRM occasionally. And I don't know where that's coming from, but it didn't interrupt us, and we had a nice conversation. If you ever hear Mike on there, KD5KX, well, be sure and jump in there with him. Well, how's your day going, and what are you up to?
So far, well, we have two ladies come over here and clean on Mondays. It's every other Monday. And so you know how that goes. You got to pick everything up so they can do the cleaning job. I hate to say it that way, but that's pretty much true. So just get everything. We just try to make it as easy for them as possible. You know, get the dog toys off the floor. And at the same time, we got covers on the furniture because of the dogs. So we usually take those off and we'll wash them sometime on Monday. But there's just a lot of stuff like that just that needs to be done. It doesn't take real long. It probably by the time I start, it's about an hour and a half. That's when Lane is home helping, but she's not home today. She's been in Anderson all week in animal sitting. I may have told you that. But so she left Friday. She's going to be back this afternoon. So my chores doubled. So, and the fact that I slept in today to almost, well, to 8:30. I didn't finish my first cup of coffee till after 9 o'clock, and usually I do that about 7. So, well, I'm behind schedule. But anyway, I just got finished doing all that. And there's always other stuff to do, you know. You got to brush your teeth, you know, stuff like that. So it just all takes time. So that's what I've been doing. I just now came downstairs, filling out my vitamin box, doing that stuff, and I turned the radios on. Then I looked at my phone and I saw you text me. So I'm still waiting for the ladies to come. They come anywhere typically from noontime to about 3 o'clock. Two weeks ago, they came really early. They came like 11 o'clock. We were just not ready for them. I just like to, anymore, I like to spend about an hour just drinking coffee and looking outside, even if it's gloomy like it is today. So that's kind of what we've been doing. If somebody put a gun to my head and say, what would I use for Riddy? And that was the only consideration. I still use MMTTY. It just works so good. I have it embedded in N1MM contest program. So when I contest on Riddy, I use two radios. So I use two MMTTYs going. And it works great. They just work great. And it's time proven. There's some other ones out there that some people use, but I think for ease of integration and to use the MMTTY is still one of the better ones out there. So that's what I tell them. There is a conversational FT mode. I think it's called GS call. I think they may have modified that name, seems like, but this guy has taken the code, the FT type code, and made it so it's basically a conversational mode. There are some people using that. It's pretty effective. But I really have been using it. And for IQ.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, it sure was a pleasure to get to talk to Mike. I haven't talked to him in 10 years. And I didn't think he'd have me on his list, you know. And although when he'd come up to work on our stuff, if he was there long enough, which usually wasn't, I would have him up for dinner and that. And just a great guy. And his son now has a, oh, I think it's a PLC programming business, if I can remember rightly. He's got a big building that he's built for him, and he's got an office down there for his radios and that. And I told him he could operate that 890 remotely. He's getting his antennas up and all. So he's really serious about it. I don't know how old Mike is now, but he must be 62 or so. And it's just great to touch back. And he's not from my home, but he's as close to it as you could get. And most of the repeater organizations in my area up there in Kansas have dissolved and not around anymore, so I don't keep in touch with those guys. I used to get on HF of a morning and talk to some real old-timers from up there, but they were in their 90s, so you know how that is now. Unfortunately, they were great amateurs. I think W0RRL was one. The other one, I can't remember, Jim Wilson, or not Jim Wilson, but there was a chief engineer at KOM-TV. I used to talk to him and some fellas up there in their little towns around Pittsburgh, Kansas. But I guess I'm getting old, Bill. Well, I seen they just hauled the guy off up the street there, a couple of doors that I don't care much for, but they haul him off in an ambulance. I don't know his name. He looks like Mark Twain, and he acts like a hermit, so I really don't know. But I'd almost say he probably had the COVID, because I know he'd been around his grandkids quite a bit, and I hadn't seen him moving around, and I seen him cart him out there on a gurney, and I could see the whiskers sticking up, so I'm pretty sure that's who it was. Well, we wish him well anyways. That stuff's really bad. We're staying close to home, haven't done much. Just tending the chickens mostly.
Maybe that's Bernice. I don't know. Maybe both of you. Okay, well, it's just, you just don't know how it's going to affect different people. They just don't know enough about it. I mean, they have not determined why some people are so severe. I mean, they know the risk groups, obviously, but exactly why it does what it does to certain people and not others, they it's going to be a while before they figure that one out. But obviously, there's things that you can do to reduce your risk. Just have to hold out long enough until you get the vaccine. Although there's a number of my friends who say they will not take it. I don't understand that. But I definitely will. I was going to ask you. Do you ever miss? Being in the Pittsburgh, Kansas area, seeing how that's originally from where you're from, over.
Gerald TR. No, Bill, we don't. Bernice doesn't either. And I do miss my friends, and most of the fishing places were getting to where Bernice is over here coughing. Having a coughing fit. They're getting to where they were, the old strip mines up there were bought up by people, and they were building $500,000 houses on them, which in the past you could go out and fish anywhere and just throw your boat in and go. They were owned by Mackie Clemens Coal Company, and they were, most of them, around 100 years old, and there were great places to fish. There is game management areas where you can hunt, but if you don't know somebody, places to hunt are getting scarce. And they're bringing in people from all over the United States to hunt deer there because, well, when I was a kid, there was no deer. And they brought them in, and my gracious, now they're a pest. And they sit around and eat soybeans and all of the good crops, you know, corn, and they're well fed and they're gigantic. There was one out there, a girl out in western Kansas the other day. What's been in the last couple of months? She was 13 years old and shot a 42-point buck on her folks' property. I think it was out there near one of those towns you mentioned visiting. Go ahead.
Wow, they must have good-sized deer out there. Around here, there are these little puny ones. But I tell you what, it's open season, 12 months out of the year around here on deer. They're shooting all the time. They don't care when or where. It's just amazing. And we still have deer coming. Lane still feeds them. Since she's been gone this weekend, I've been doing the feeding. But she puts deer corn out there and whole corn ears. Sometimes she's got some feed she actually puts out there, although they like the corn better. Of course, when I do that, I also put out the cat chow for the coons and the possums. This is Animal Farm out here, as you know. It still is. I'm surprised with all the development, but I think it's simpler to have dogs out in this area. There's not, and the two-legged critters that go around with fire sticks, you know, they're fairly safe out here. Their natural habitat, though, in the surrounding areas, is definitely shrinking really fast. That's kind of like in Kansas, I guess. You know, there's people everywhere. They got to go somewhere, so, you know, what happens. That's just kind of the way it is. Well, I operated the North American QSO party this week, and that's a CW. It's over a 12-hour period, but you can only operate 10 hours. So I operated 10. I worked just about 800 stations with CW. That was a lot of fun. And they've got a sideband version of it coming up this weekend. I probably won't operate that. And then I operated the ARRL Ready Contest, which was the first weekend of January. That was fun. I worked about 1,500 stations, but that was like in 23 hours. So I think I'll take this weekend off. N0TR, N4IQ.
TR. You're just amazing, Bill. 800 and 1,500. Good Lord, my fingers would fall off. Of course, I'm sure you got programming that does a lot of it, but I noticed there was a lot of USA stations on there, and so I didn't get on. I did work a few DX stations last week, but as you know, the bands have been a little bit on the far side without the sunspots. Yeah, let me see. I had Bulgaria, Belgium, Turkey. He was so weak you couldn't hardly hear him, and he already sent the logbook of the world. European, Russian, Poland, Azores, England, Hungary, French Guiana, a few like that in the last week, on mostly 40 around Gray Line in the evening. But we've been getting up a little bit later, too, and Amy does that same thing on the cleaning. She has somebody come in once a week, I think, and she has two doggies, and God, those dogs are nice. I love to go down there and pet the dogs. The one looks like the one on the Little Rascals with that eye patch. She always adopts them at the Humane Society. But we don't, reference to Kansas, we don't miss the weather. We don't miss Toto and Dorothy and tornado sirens every year. I'm sorry the secret's out that it's so wonderful down here and the people are wonderful. No, you couldn't beg me to go back to Kansas, Bill. This is N0TR.
I just wonder, I mean, you talk about it a lot. I just didn't know if you missed it or not. Well, I didn't live a great portion of my life there, but long enough to know I'm in paradise compared to where I was in Kansas. So,
man, what town was you by up there? Winfield, was it, Bill?
You mean where I lived?
Roger.
Oh, this is in Wichita. I was there when I was young, and then when I was in junior high school. So it is in Wichita, and that's where I was born.
Benny, wonder you still don't have a zero call. Well, I used to ride my 250 Yamaha when I first graduated from high school out to Wichita. From Pittsburgh, which was 165 miles through the Flint Hills. God, I love the Flint Hills, except during bad weather, of course. And I worked at Learjet for a couple of months and then got with 300 other people. You know how aircraft industry is. But, boy, that was an experience driving back and forth across there on the weekends. And I'm bucking rivets on a Model 24 Lear back when Bob Cummins and I think there was a... They put these tags on top of them as we made them, and there was a Shah of Iran or something up there, I think. And, I can't think of all the movie stars of that era. And they're the only ones that could afford those. And I think... The Model 24 was around $640,000, $680,000, which now it's in the millions, you know, Bill. I wonder you didn't wind up at Boeing.
Well, my grandfather did. My grandparents lived there. They were, my grandparents and my mom lived out in western Kansas, and after all the dust storms and everything. I mean, mom was born in 22. They finally just gave up and moved to Peabody, and that's not too far from Newton. And then they got out of there, and then my grandfather worked at the Boeing factory, and he worked on B-47s, the first jet bomber. And then he worked on B-52s, and then he retired. So, and he passed away in Wichita when I was in the Army. That was like in 1969. So, anyway, so he was really proud of what he did. He had airplane pictures all over his house. They were good ones. Well, I've got to, and I left Kansas when I was, I think, in the ninth grade, eighth grade. I can't remember now. That's so long ago. We're talking more than a half a century ago. But no, I never lived there long enough to, you know, work or even go to high school there. So that's when I moved directly from Wichita to London, England for over 4 years. That was a cultural shock. And then I moved from London, England to Charlotte, North Carolina. That was even a greater cultural shock. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, that's how I ended up in this area. All right, I'm going to go. I got to walk my doggies. Those ladies aren't here yet, but poor Toby, he says I've been forgotten, so I got to go walk him. But anyway, you have a great day. Enjoy the chat. N0TR and Fly Q.
Oh, pleasure's all mine, sir. Well, my nephew has been a medical scientist graduate of KU and University of Sussex in England, and holds a master's in business from Northwestern, and he says, and he was the CEO of a drug company in Cambridge, Massachusetts, up near Boston. And I asked him yesterday or the day before, I said, are you guys going to take the shot, his family, because they're all working from home? And he said, absolutely. So that ought to make you feel a little bit more assured. And when I was a kid, well, you know, you listen to Wyatt Earp, they talk about Doc Fabrique. Well, my aunt and uncle lived at 1826 Fabrique in Wichita, and I would go out there and spend the week. And I remember the B-47s and B-52s when you couldn't look up in the sky without seeing one there. And so I guess it would have been the late 50s, early 60s. And they still were painted fluorescent orange. I don't know, you know, on the nose and the tail and different parts of them. And I have 126 Kodak slides of those when they were still painted that way. I don't know if you remember them looking like that or not. I'll let you go, but I wanted to hear if you ever seen them like that when they had the fluorescent orange on them.
No, I never did. I wonder if those probably were some kind of test planes that they were flying around. Sometimes they paint them kind of weird. No, but I really don't remember seeing them that color. And I know where Cambridge is, MA, because I've been up there. I spent a better part of a week there. When I was at Clemson, and I was a graduate student, I had a part-time job in the department, and they sent me to the DEC school, digital, and they sent me to school on a PDP. That's how long ago that was. So I got to go up there, and I was not too impressed because they sent me in January. That was not a good time to go to Cambridge, Massachusetts. So I know you know what I'm talking about. They had all this white stuff on the ground. All right, I am going now. So anyway, 73s, take care. M4IQ.
It is on one of the great ponds there near Boston now. We visited him a couple of years ago, and it's out in the country, and it's absolutely beautiful. 73's Bill, say hi to doggies and give them a pat from me and Bernice. And she is the farmer. I'm just an immigrant, I guess, from Kansas and an honorary farmer. N4IQ, N0TR, 73's.